What a wonderful name. Christ have we God and the Come to our time of communion, I can't help but think about just the Last Supper and the events that are unfolding after that. Jesus' followers must have been confused and probably scared, and they're just doubting everything that's going on. And there's probably some of that in all of us right now. But amidst all the confusion, amidst the worry, and amidst their questions about everything that was happening, God was still working, and he was doing the most miraculous thing that has ever happened in taking care of our sin. And Jesus worked through all those times where it looked like God had lost control, and he went to the cross and endured those pains and those hardships because of his love for you and I. And so we come to the time of communion, and we are thankful for that. We praise God for that. And we pause just to reflect on those sins that he has taken care of for us. So let's pray. God, thank you for just that act of love. Thank you for just the fact that you work even when we don't understand it, or when we can't see it, that you're still working. And God, we know that that's happening now, and we know that that happened on the cross, and we thank you for that act of service and that act of love that Jesus did for us. And God, we just thank you for this time of worship, and we just lift up all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, Reinhardt family. We're glad you have joined us today for this video message. I was really happy some of you were showing interest last week in this coronavirus handkerchief that I was telling you about. And this handkerchief is to guard you from the coronavirus. And just look at this beautiful handkerchief. It's purple, psychedelic. You can know why the coronavirus would just run from this handkerchief. And you may be wondering about this hat that I'm wearing. This is the KO coronavirus hat. KO stands for knockout coronavirus. Now, I know it looks like a KU hat, and we're going to do a little bit of work on this, and we're going to make that more legible for you to see. It is a KO coronavirus hat, and I'm sure that Everett Fortner and Steve Long and probably many others will be anxious to get their own KO coronavirus hat, and I'll be glad to share it with you. I love you, Reinhardt family, and I know Elijah loves you. We miss you, and I've been thinking about this last week some of the things that I miss about being together on a Sunday morning. Certainly, I miss the music team. I miss you singing to Jesus. That was one of the things when I first came to the Reinhardt Church here. I was so moved by the singing of this church, how you sing so loud to Jesus. You lift your voices up to Jesus, and certainly, he is a great God and Savior for us to worship. I miss Joe and Mary and Sandra in the kitchen on a Sunday morning. And let's say it, all of us, we have to be honest with each other. We miss the donuts on Sunday morning. I miss meeting with Dave and Rick ahead of the service and praying with them. I miss, as I get up to preach, seeing all 14 of the Simmons lined up in a row in front of me. So many things that I miss about what happens on a Sunday morning when we are together. And I thought it might be kind of fun if some point this morning or this afternoon, whenever you're watching this video, that you might write on the church Facebook page what you miss about being together as a church family here at Reinhardt. You remember last week we began to direct our attention towards Easter. Easter is just 2 weeks away, and I don't know if we're going to be together on Easter Sunday morning or not. I certainly hope so. But one thing I know for sure, we will celebrate the risen Savior on Easter morning, because that is a fact. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there is no other world religion that can make such a claim. You think about that. Jesus, his tomb is empty. Christianity can make that claim, whereas no other world religion can say that their leader has risen from the dead. We talked last week, you remember, about the fact that God's plan was for Jesus to come and be the sacrifice for our sins, and the fact that that plan was in place before the world began. Every detail of God's plan was fulfilled through Jesus. And that reminded us of the fact that God is in control. Not only down through the ages has he been in control, but he is still in control even today. We look around us in this world of this coronavirus, it certainly seems like things are out of control. It seems like there is so much chaos and confusion and uncertainty. But one thing that we can be sure of, and that is that God is on the throne and God is in control. Today I want us to direct our thoughts to a different issue, and that is God's love for us. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you will already know this verse. You have it memorized since your childhood, but some of you, maybe this verse is brand new to you. I want to quote it to you, and if you know it, please say it out loud with me right there in your home. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." That verse has the truth of God in a nutshell. And I want to break it down for you just for a few moments. I want us to talk about what that verse is really saying to us. First of all, it says to us that God loves us. Have you ever thought about that love of God, how great his love is for you? It's a wonderful thing that God loves the whole world. That is a beautiful thing. But think about this. Not only does he love the whole world, but he loves you. And he loves me. He loves every person that is in this world. It doesn't matter what that person's skin color is. It doesn't matter what that person's nationality is. It doesn't matter how thick their pocketbook is. God loves each and every one of us. And that is something that we can give him praise for. And he loves the person who has tattoos. He loves the person who doesn't have tattoos. And by the way, did you know that God has a tattoo? He certainly does. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, God is speaking through the prophet. And this is what he says in that verse. "Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." If you read that verse from the New Living Translation, it says it this way. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. The New International Version translates that verse this way. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Isn't that amazing to think about? That God has your name written on the palm of his hands. He loves you that much. His love is an everlasting love, the prophet Jeremiah said. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the apostle John writes it this way. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. His love is an immeasurable kind of love. It's not like we could say from here to the moon is the distance that God loves us. Or from here to the sun, that's how much God loves us. No, it's an immeasurable kind of love. You cannot put a measuring tape to the love of God and say, this is how much he loves us. It's absolutely beyond our imagination. And yet, Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 is praying a prayer, and he's praying that we could have our eyes opened to understand the depth and the breadth and the height and the length of God's love. And then he adds this, and yet it is beyond our knowledge. God loves the whole world, and his love is amazing. But let me tell you too, his love is personal. He loves you, and he loves me. When I'm sitting at someone's kitchen table or maybe in their living room, and we're talking about Jesus and we're talking about God's love for us, I enjoy taking that verse from John 3:16 and personalizing it. For God so loved Elijah, for God so loved Mallory, that he gave his only begotten son, that if Elijah and Mallory would believe in him, they would not perish, but have everlasting life. I can put my name in that space. You can put your name there. Every person's name fits in that space because it's the truth. God loves each and every one of us so much that he gave his son to die for us. And that leads me to my second point this morning, just simply the fact that God gave his son for us. Think about that. You that have children, can you even begin to imagine giving up one of your kids for somebody else? I can't fathom that. In fact, I'm quite sure I could not do that. I have already said how much I love the folks here at the Reinhardt Church, and I really do, but I couldn't give up my child for you. That love is beyond me. And yet that is the kind of love that God had long, long ago as he gave up his one and only son for us. It's an incredible love. Romans chapter 5:8 says, God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he did not wait for us to get our lives together. No, when we were at our worst, the scripture says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that was God's plan, that he would give his son to die for us who are sinners. It's an amazing love. It's a giving kind of love. Did you hear about the Catholic priest in Italy this last week who gave up his ventilator for someone else? I read his story. His name was Don. I dare not try to tell you his last name. It's about this long. It's an Italian name, and I would butcher it if I tried to tell it to you, but I'll call him Don. He contracted the coronavirus, and he's dearly loved by his church. His church members came together. They pooled their money together to buy Brother Don a ventilator to try and save his life, and when it was brought to him, he refused it, saying that he wanted the ventilator to go to a younger patient. And that is what happened. He gave his ventilator away, and as a result, he passed away. It's quite a moving story. Greater love hath no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And that is exactly what Jesus did for us long, long ago. He gave his life for us, and God the Father willed that to happen. That was his plan. It's an amazing love. Let me give to you a third point from this golden verse of the Bible. And it is simply this: what we need to do in response to God's love is to believe in him. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We have the opportunity to believe in Jesus. And there are so many verses in John's gospel that give support to this truth from John 3:16. In fact, the verses that surround John 3:16, we are not as familiar with them as what we are verse 16, but let me read them to you. Verses 14 and 15 say this: as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then the verse that follows, verse 16, actually verse 18, it says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Chapter 5 of John, verse 24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And then John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. My dear friends, we need to believe in Jesus. We need to believe that he is the Son of God. We need to believe that he died on the cross and raised from the dead. We need to believe that he is the only way to God, the only Savior. He is not one of many ways to God. He is the only way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And if we believe in him, we need to obey him. Scripture is very clear about that. Belief and obedience go hand in hand, simply because he is the Lord of all. We are not the Lord. He is the Lord. It's not about us. It's about him. It's not our way. Rather, it's his way. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life. And so if we believe in him, we will seek to obey him. And the promise is eternal life. That's my fourth point. The promise is eternal life. whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God's not in the business of breaking promises. His promise is simply this: if you believe in Jesus, eternal life is yours. I'm wondering, do you want heaven to be yours? Then you must believe in Jesus. You need to trust in him as your Lord and Savior. I'm quite sure this coronavirus is unlike anything that any of us have ever seen before. And through it all, I'm hoping that our attention is being directed towards God. Certainly that's what he wants. He wants to get our attention through the coronavirus. Now, I do not for a moment think that God is the author of the coronavirus. I don't think that God has sent this virus our way to bring judgment upon us. Here a few weeks ago, a Saturday, early March, my son and I were going to a Missouri basketball game. It was an afternoon game. In fact, it was the weekend right before all of the basketball was shut down due to the coronavirus. Missouri was playing Alabama, and we were just a few blocks away from the arena where the Tigers play, and had stopped at a stoplight, and I noticed a number of people on the street corner with signs in their hand. They were picketing. They were holding signs, trying to get the attention of those who were driving by. And certainly, I gave my attention to what the signs were saying, and I could tell from the verbiage of the signs that this was a group that I would call very radical, very judgmental, very self-righteous. They're the kind of people that give Christians a bad name to this world. One of the signs that I noticed said this: God sent the coronavirus. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think God has sent the coronavirus, but I do know one thing: God wants to get our attention through the coronavirus. He wants to take a bad thing and work good from it. He wants to turn ashes into beauty. And that can happen if, through this coronavirus, we begin to realize that the only rock-solid thing that we can hang our hat on, the only rock-solid thing that we can give ourselves to, is Jesus. And we realize that all of this other stuff in the world, it's not rock-solid at all. But Jesus is. If you're sitting in your living room, maybe on your computer, on your telephone, and you're watching this video, and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to consider that. I want to encourage you to begin to move in that direction of giving your heart and your life to Jesus. He's the only rock-solid thing that we can give ourselves to. We can help you with that here at Reinhart. If you'll reach out to us, email us, get on our website, contact us, and we'll be back in touch with you, and we will glad to be sitting down and talking with you. We can begin that conversation through a phone call. We can begin that conversation simply through email or through texting. Maybe we could get to the point that we could sit down face to face with one another. I know that Elijah or I would love to sit down with you and share with you the good news about Jesus. He wants you to have his peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He doesn't want us worrying. He doesn't want us to be filled with fear. He doesn't want us to have panic in our heart. He wants us to have His peace. And it is my encouragement to you to reach out to Jesus. I hope when we get back together that we will see new people coming through our doors. There's room at Reinhardt for new people. God wants the church to grow, and we want the church to grow too. We want you to be a part of this family.
Father, just thank you for this morning and the chance that we have to gather together even when we're not face-to-face. And God, we do just give this situation over to you, and we just pray that you would give us wisdom and guidance as we just maneuver these times, and help us to continue to reach out to those who we can help, even though we're apart. And God, we do look forward to the time when we're back together, and we know that that will just be a great celebration when that time comes. But in the meantime, just give us peace, and just help us to know that you're still with us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us. I know this is a little different, but we're still happy to have the opportunity to worship together in this way. And we are still trying to be the church, even though things have changed in the way that we minister to people and the way that we reach out to our community. We are still trying to do that. And so we encourage you to find ways to do that while you're at home, or maybe for those of you who still are going to work. And we're committed to still sending money to our missionaries and those even in our local community who are still doing the work of the kingdom. And so we would appreciate if you would continue your support in that way, one, so that we can continue the work of the kingdom, and because it is part of our worship experience. And so we look forward to seeing you next week. And just know that we're praying for you guys.